red carpet and hang with the stars.
Going upstream
with Breitbart and Maliz Callaway Show. Talk 94.5.
All right, and joining us live on the air is the sports editor of Breitbart, Dylan Gwynn. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Liz. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, listen, I was just looking through some sports articles on Breitbart.com. I have to ask you about this, and I don't know if you know about this, Nick. I don't know if I've ever even heard about this. The transgender boxer, Patricio Manuel, he's a transgender male boxer.
Wait, hold on. Was a girl, now a male?
Yes.
Okay, I always get it confused.
Dylan, this is a crazy, that's a crazy story. And he had like a 3-to-1 like ratio of winning. That's amazing.
Yeah, she got off to a very fast start in her career. She's a former Olympian, actually. 2012, competed for the U.S. Olympic team. Very successful female boxer.
Okay.
Yeah, as a boxer. A very successful female boxer. Now, that was competing in the female division. After that time, it was around 2016, somewhere around there, she began transitioning to a male, or going through the, you know, whatever transition surgeries they do to become a male, and testosterone treatments and things of that nature, and then launched a professional boxing career in the men's category.
That's amazing.
And she won the first three fights. Now those are a little bit, I'm a little bit skeptical of the opponents for her in those first three fights. There was a couple of them, I think all of them actually, were Mexican fighters. And if you look at their fight history, most of them had less than 10 amateur fights, which, if you know anything about boxing, if you know anything about Mexican boxers in particular, normally they have about 100 amateur fights before they're like 19 years old.
So, I mean,
it's very odd to find a 28, 30-year-old Mexican fighter with 10 or 12 amateur fights to his record. So you're like, what bar in Tijuana did you get this guy out of, right?
Hey, I think one of them was a 10-year-old Cub Scout too, right? No, maybe not.
Right, exactly. This is like, you know, snatch this guy off the Casa Grande somewhere, and we're like, hey, come fight this girl. So I don't know. I'm very skeptical about the quality of opponent there. Obviously, not skeptical about the recent quality of opponent who knocked her out in 21 seconds. She's now getting to the point in her boxing career in the men's division where, you know, I guess the bars in Tijuana are emptying out, and they're not finding any more, you know, any more easy targets there. And you know, she's getting into some tougher competition. She obviously found some tougher competition last week when she was knocked down in 21 seconds.
I can't believe that is a woman. I mean, we're talking beard, mustache, hair on the chest, under the arm. I mean, this looks like a man with all these muscles. And, I got to give her credit, or him credit, for, like, going into boxing. That's a lot. I mean,
going into boxing, and not just that, but going through, I'm opposed to this. I believe that this ideology is indicative of mental illness, and I want these people to get help. But on some certain level, I mean, this is not somebody who just decides one day to put on a purse and high heels.
Exactly.
If you look at the picture, and I encourage all of you out there to go to Breitbart Sports and look at the picture, that to any person not knowing the background of that person, you would think that is not just a man, but a particularly, you know, testosterone-filled man. I mean, like you said, beard, muscle.
I mean, obviously,
abs,
she had her breasts
muscles,
removed,
everything.
And I guess had a pair sewn on, because, I mean, it takes a lot of cojones to do what she's doing. I just have to say. I mean, I have to. Okay, but there are some other transgender issue stories in your on Breitbart.com. What other one do you want to bring to our attention?
Well, the big one from over the weekend was a track event in Oregon where you had a male runner competing in the women's side,
and this is in
won
high school.
Second overall. I'm sorry?
It was a high school meet, right?
Yes, high school runner who won second overall in a statewide track tournament in Oregon. It was crazy. People will say, well, he didn't win. No, he didn't win. But if you took his scores in the 200-meter dash and the 400-meter dash in this event, and you put him in the men's or on the boys' side, he would have come in next to last almost in each one of those races. However, on the girls' side, he finished second. And the thing that's you know, obviously disheartening about this, in addition to just the obvious stuff, is that this was a critical race for getting to go to the state championships, which means this male runner who's running on the men's side, the boys' side, is going to take a spot away from a female runner who deserves to go. And all the girls who ran in this race over the weekend traveled from across the state of Oregon to get to this race, only to be left in the dust, you know, in the wake, the speed wake of this male runner who I think the closest runner to him was at least 25 feet behind.
I'm watching the video. It's like, how do you even applaud for that?
No, yeah, and you know what? As a parent, and now I've had sons, but now I'm a grandfather, and I have a granddaughter. I can't imagine myself staying in my seat and watching this. I mean, I'm gonna get a hold of somebody in an official capacity and raise some cane about what's about this. And if you look at the Twitter comments, and I think we're starting to see a shift right now. We this has happened so many times that we've seen these videos of male athletes dominating female athletes. The people are actually starting to get mad at the female athletes and their parents. They're not just mad at the situation anymore. I think they recognize that we have a very sick culture right now and a very big problem in the world of sports when it comes to transgender infiltration. They're starting to get mad at the female athletes for participating. If you look at the Twitter comments in that article at Breitbart Sports, several of them, I would dare say the majority, are people saying, why did these girls agree to participate in this race? Why did their parents agree to allow them to participate in this race? Yeah. If they had sat the race out, the race would have had to have been canceled, and this, you know, this monstrosity, this debacle would not have ensued.
But nobody wants to sacrifice their child to be labeled, you know, transphobe, lose out on college entry. You know, this will damage them socially, financially, you know? I mean, it's...
No. There's no question. I agree with you. But if they all did, there's strength in numbers.
If they all did it,
you know, then now you're looking at a movement. It's one thing if only, you know, one or two girls do it. Mm-hmm. But if an entire field of a race of 10, if 9 out of the 10 sit out, then all of a sudden you have a movement, not just, you know, one person refusing to participate.
And I think
if you look at what Riley Gaines is talking about, obviously the outspoken activist for women's sports and what she's trying to do, she's leading that lawsuit against the NCAA. Mm-hmm. That's what she's advocating.
Yeah.
She's advocating that kind of unanimity and solidarity of purpose.
We're speaking with Dylan Gwynn, the sports editor of Breitbart. I also wanted to get some maybe added information in the wake of O.J. Simpson dying last week. One of the things that I saw an article about on Breitbart is that his brain is not going to be donated to CTE research. Did you find that surprising, or did he purposefully make sure that nobody had access to his brilliant brain?
I'm not surprised. I think the decision was left up to his kids, the lawyer, the executor of the state, the one who's trying to prevent the Goldmans from getting any additional money. Mark Laverne, he said that decision was left up to the children. The children decided not to pursue that. And You know, there are reasons. I don't know. I don't know what could be gained from studying OJ's brain. When I think through this problem, I'm like,
I just think of young. Person. I just think of young Frankenstein, and then they go in there and they pick the Abby Normal brain, and it happens to be OJ Simpson, and they make a new Frankenstein movie. That would be so funny.
Oh yeah.
What hump?
Yeah.
Nice knockers.
Exactly. Like whatever computer brain graphing system they would bring up would reveal an image that would be so horrible that I think I would just shut the whole thing down immediately. Anyway, I was like, no, get rid of, delete that. So they decided not to. I'm not surprised. I'm glad they didn't, in a way, because, you know, that would just add to the suffering of the Goldmans and Nicole Brown's family. Because what's going to happen? They're going to find CTE, and what are they going to say? Oh, well, you know, this is, OJ was really,
it was the concussion
not really
that
fault
did it.
For his actions. Yeah, exactly. They're going to find another way to excuse him from the awful and terrible things that he did. And I'm really, for the sake of the Goldmans, I'm glad they didn't.
What do you make about his, like, well, who was that guy, his ex-agent or something, saying it was some other guy, some serial killer? Did you see that by chance?
Yeah, that was a lawyer,
Norm
actually.
Norm Pardo something?
He was one of the lawyers saying he was framed for this whole thing. And I'm like, you know, I what more do you want to do to these families who have suffered here? I mean, you know, can we please stop? this was the most obvious. I think this was in many cases, you know, case zero or patient zero for the modern, you know, race-based miscarriage of justice in the court system, in the criminal court system. This guy was obviously guilty and joked about it for years and tried to profit off of it for years afterwards. And whenever we go through these exercises of trying to find guilt in other people or you know, brain injuries or whatever, you know, all we're doing is taking away from what was obviously just a terrible thing and a terrible person. And now we see that in full force because he directed the executor of his estate, Mark Laverne, his attorney, to make sure the Goldmans got none of the money out of his estate. So even up until months before his death, he remained passionately angry at these people and spiteful of them.
Yeah, and I think I was reading that he made everyone sign an NDA when they came to his deathbed. So, I guess just in case something slipped out, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. In case he turned and I really did do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Exactly. Anyway. Exactly.
But a lot of people are saying this whole Trump jury selection trial could pull a situation like OJ's jury where, you know, you have a jury that, a juror, enough of them to make a statement, you know, like they're trying to do something like a Trojan juror, you know, that's what they were. When some of those jurors spoke out later on, just, you know, being interviewed and it's like, oh yeah, that was retribution. That was retribution for Rodney King, I think it was. And so,
She said payback, the
payback.
Juror.
Yeah. That's what the juror said.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can easily see that. I mean, that was a very highly publicized trial. I can easily see that happening, especially when the powers that be are against Trump, to put people in there that are people that just want to convict Trump just to convict him.
Exactly right. Well, and then that's what the whole legal system is right now, is the matter of political arranging of forces. I mean, it's you know, the politics of it. It has taken over the legal system, and obviously that's true what's been in terms of what's happening in Trump right now, and that was certainly true. And you know what? You get reminded of how old you are when the OJ, something like the OJ thing happens, because you have to explain. I'm trying to explain this to my 14-year-old. he's like, so what? A football player died. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa,
oh,
no, there's a lot more to it, man.
Yeah.
and you go through this.
And he was such a well-loved football player, you know, OJ and the orange juice and the juice. And I mean, it was just everything that he symbolized. He was just an American hero. And for him to be engaged in this and then just be all weird and doing all these crazy things and everything stripped from him. I mean, that was us getting duped again. I mean, that's when we realized that, wow, we are so easily fooled.
Oh, yeah. He is, you never know about people, and that's got to be one of the main lessons of O.J. Simpson. There's no question about it, because you're right. He was, like Bob Costas said, he was not just universally known, he was universally beloved.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's betrayal, but people forget. We have a short-term memory, that's for sure. Well, Dylan Gwynn, it was so cool getting to talk with you. You can find out more about the sports section that he edits. It's on Breitbart.com. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much.